station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio.
On the drive to work, you tuned to a wacky, zany morning show and heard them say something distasteful. You can't believe your ears. You were just shocked by a shock jock.
Isn't that what a shock jock does?
Now, you're gonna do something about it.
Get that monster fired, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy protesting your favorite morning show because it messed with his PC sensibilities, exercise your First Amendment rights and give a single finger salute to Mr. Easily Offended by Stuff on the Radio, a real American hero.
Mr. Easily.
You know, there is this thing called a tuner, and it actually lets you change the radio station. Isn't that incredible?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, July 26th. We're back in the studio live like clockwork.
Like Clockwork Orange. Freaky-ass movie. Freaky movie.
And we're back, and you look all dolled up and pretty this morning.
Oh, my gosh. I just love it when men say things like that.
Really?
Yeah, just keep it rolling. Let me turn this up.
Keep it rolling, yeah. Well, I told you the volume should have been higher, but that's okay. So, So Kara is in the studio, and so am I.
We are here.
We're here, and we're clear.
Go for it. What were you going to say? Here and clear.
Nothing.
You know when you think you have cash in your purse, and then you go to look in it, and all that's gone.
Oh my God! Well, no, I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Well, it's kind of normal for me. It's not a big deal. I just roll with it. It never stresses me out that badly. Uh-huh. Then anyway, I was like, I got to Starbucks, you know, to get my fix, and I'm digging in my purse. I'm like, come on, where is it? Like, I thought I had money in here. What? And anyway, thank God I found my friend gave me one of these like free drink coupon things.
Uh-huh.
So, and you could get any drink you want, any size. So I was like,
really?
Give me the biggest badass drink you got.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm rocking like
You're
this.
You're lucky. How embarrassing 60. Would it have been, huh? If you order something and then you don't have money to pay.
Yeah, that never feels good, but you just, whatever. Just kind of roll.
What do they do? I mean, do they dump the coffee? They might as well give it to you.
No, they won't make it. They won't make it.
No, but how do you know that they...
I was in my car at this point. I was, like, looking in my car. And,
right.
Yeah. So I didn't get to that point. But, no, that is embarrassing if you can't pay for something. But it's human. It's probably happened to everybody. Has it never happened to you?
No, never happened.
Ever? Have you ever had your car declined?
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that
it's
happened.
Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same feeling. It all kind of sucks.
I guess so, huh?
It all kind of makes you feel like not like a winner at that moment. But it's human, you know?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I was at... When I first moved out here, I went to the 99-cent store and had my car declined.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, run it again. Try it again.
Yeah, lady, if it's declined once, it'll be declined again.
I'm like, it's just a strip. It's a new car. I haven't activated it yet. Nah, it's a whole different low when it gets declined there, but then you just roll with it.
Yeah.
You know?
It is embarrassing, though.
You know, it totally sucks, but at the same time, why should it be so, I mean, it is embarrassing, but why should it be, you know,
well,
I mean, if I see somebody that it happens to, mm-hmm. I don't look at them like they're awful or anything.
Yeah,
I feel just feel bad for
yeah,
them, you know.
You feel bad, yeah.
Well, so I guess we just don't want people to feel bad for us is why.
Cause yeah. You worked at Starbucks. Did it ever happen when customers?
Yeah, I was a waitress and it happened. I mean, it's happened, not a whole lot, but I mean, a few times when I've worked at, when I've waited tables, I just pray, please God, let their card go through. Like if it doesn't, I hated going back to somebody and being like, I'm so sorry. Do you have a different card? It's not. And I always spin it like, you know, if for some reason it's not going through, or maybe it's our computers. Do you have a different card?
Yeah.
I'll always do like that. I'll never say it got declined.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good.
Yeah. You know. And especially if they're on a date with a girl.
Oh God.
Which happened to me. I told you guys that, right?
Yeah.
So bad. The guy's card got declined. It was awful.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. So how was your weekend?
It was a very eventful weekend. You know, without going into details. I just have a few friends right now that are going through a lot, and one of them in particular is she's been kicking an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so really close friend of mine. It's not an entertaining story other than I'm just being honest. Anyway, so I've been helping her kind of transition from her house to like a different living situation that would be, you know, with support and things like that.
Right.
We did a garage sale on Saturday and just kind of a lot of legwork and stuff like that. But it's a hard, messy situation, but I feel like she's doing better. And it's kind of one of these things, I guess, you know, you kind of have to rebuild your whole life when you, you know, come up for air. You decide when you kind of hit rock bottom,
right?
And you decide, oh my gosh, I have to get things together. It's like you have to rebuild and start over, and it's very humbling. I think even if you're helping the person, it's humbling, because even though that may not be my thing in life, it's very similar to any of us that could kind of make the wrong choice or mess up, and then you have to start all over. You know,
right?
It's a very kind of basic human level.
Yeah, it's difficult, you know. I mean, transitions like that are difficult, and usually it's nice to stand by your friends and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've learned a lot during this time too, because my normal approach would be, you know, be there for them, give them lots of hugs, pep them up, have fun with them, you know, take them out for a coffee or something, and you know, kind of entertain them a little more and be encouraging. But I've found out
listen, you know, listen a lot.
But what I've found out with, you know, addictions, which I'm learning, is that when people are like fresh in that area, it's as if it can drain you. If you try doing the thing you normally do, it can drain you. They just need help.
Right.
So it kind of required a lot more tough love than it required me to be all sweet, because I started being sweet and I started to get really resentful.
Really?
Because I was drained. I was like, you got to be, because it's, you give an inch, they take like 5 miles. And you can't really blame them, because this person has no one else. But it was more about finding the right people, helping her get in the right place. And at first I was really like, I started getting really angry and frustrated, because I just felt like I was doing all the work. And then I realized, you know, I had to step back and let this person kind of find the help that they need, because they have to want it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They have to really be so broken that they're like,
but
okay.
Sometimes, you know, when you're in a situation like this, you just feel bad and you don't want to get people involved. And
she's doing great now, and great is a strong word, but I mean, every day she's getting stronger, she feels more like herself. But it really made me angry at drug use. It made me angry at it really showed me a side of it. Not that I ever liked it, but it showed me a side of it that I'm like, this is awful. This is awful. It just destroys people's lives.
Right.
It destroys people's lives. And, you know, it's just because even when people decide, okay, now I'm tired of checking out of reality and I want to live now, or however that happens, they hit rock bottom. They have to, by default, join society.
Right.
It's such a selfish thing.
Yeah.
You know, and
addiction is a selfish thing. You know, you're not really aware of what's going on around you. All you care about is, you know, getting your next fix.
Yeah, and then, you know, my struggle was just, you know, being available to help the person and really love them without being visibly frustrated and judgmental, because it's always easy to be frustrated and go, I can't believe they did this, I can't believe da-da-da, you know, but then at the same time, it's like, you just never know what we're capable of doing. You know?
Yeah. Well, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's interesting, as this this person said to me a long time ago, we were looking at a person that was homeless, that was asking for money and things like that. And this is a long time ago. We were really close friends, and she was much younger, and said, she goes, I would never ever be in that position. She goes, I'd never ever ever be there. She's a very hard worker, very good with money.
Right.
And she was really close to being there.
Really.
Very close. Jeez. Like basically.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, and it's not because she's not good with money and she's not responsible, but she, you know, has an addiction.
Yeah.
And so that destroyed everything. But it's just interesting. It's humbling because you want to go, you know what? I could be there. Who knows what could happen in the future?
Yeah, exactly.
Where you lose hope and you don't want to live anymore. You just give up on wanting to do what you should do. I mean,
yeah. I think it's not fair to judge, you know? It's
no, really it isn't. It isn't. Judge. It's tempting because you get frustrated, but it's like you have to constantly just like humble yourself and just look at the situation and go, okay, you know, stay out of the results, stay out of, you know. But it's very humbling on all sides. So anyway, that was kind of what has been taking up my weekend. But we're over the hump, and she's in a better place right now.
Right.
People helping her.
Well,
so.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I see our guest is trying to call, but they're a little early, so we'll give them a few minutes. If you're listening, please call back in a few minutes. I wanted to tell you about our trip to Las
sure
Vegas.
Yeah, sure, it's much more fun than garage sales. Go for it.
Yeah. But by the way, we're going to be talking about virgins and their first time and stuff, so that should be pretty cool. And some compiled stories in that. So
oh, really? A lot of people?
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember your first time?
Yes, I do.
You remember your first time?
It was awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
That's what most people say.
Awful.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it in a few minutes. We went to Vegas this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And we left early so we could get there early, and we did, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we checked into the hotel, and this is a new hotel there called Videra.
Oh, really?
And this is like
is
an
it on the
awesome
strip?
It's right on the strip, but it doesn't have a casino. So it's just a hotel. So and it's so nice because it's sort of a haven away from the Las Vegas bustle, you know?
Oh, that's cool.
From all the casinos. So beautiful, beautiful hotel. I can't say enough about it. The design,
what was the style like? Was it like more modern?
Very
it...
modern.
Okay.
Very modern style.
Yeah.
And it was, we were just blown away by the way the rooms were set up
uh-huh.
and designed, the architecture, even the smell in the air, you know?
Mm.
In Vegas, you usually go into a hotel, to the casino, and it all stinks of cigarette smoke.
I hate it.
And body odors and shit. And then you go there, and it's just such like a palace, you know? And so we were like on the 42nd floor, and you could see like all of Vegas from there. So
wow.
That was an amazing thing. But I got to tell you, man, 120 degrees outside, it's not easy. It's not easy to function outside when it's that hot, you know?
So was it like, did you guys get great deals on the rooms because it's so hot right now?
No, not really. I mean, actually, this hotel was pretty reasonable for what you're getting,
uh-huh.
I got to say.
It was like 200 a night or something like that?
Something like that,
yeah.
And, you know, and another thing is, so they built like a whole center there. So right across the square from there, there's another one called Area. And that one is just as beautiful, but it does have a casino. Although you have never seen a casino like this. It's so
really?
High-tech, so beautiful, so well-designed, and beautiful people there. You know, it's just like not your average shit, you know? So we went to that casino, and it doesn't smell like cigarettes, although everybody seemed to smoke there. It doesn't stink at all. It's just absolutely beautiful, you know, all chrome and glass and
oh, wow.
Beautiful, yeah. So that was pretty nice, you know, that was a great experience there. And
so it's like a high-tech casino.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Which is nice. You've never seen anything like that, you know.
Did it make you want to gamble?
Area. No, not really, you know.
No.
I'm just not into gambling. It
I'm
doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, me
so that's why Vegas, you know, there's little I can do there.
Mm.
And so even when we went by the pool, they close it at 7 p.m.,
okay.
Which is, you know, like, what the hell, you know? There's still light outside.
You went to the pool and they closed it at 7 p.m.?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think the best time to do it is like, you
like
know,
the
in the evening when
yeah.
the sun's down, because otherwise it's just too unbearable to sit outside.
You guys are in a freaking desert, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was that, and you know what? Let's just take their call. I feel bad. It is time now anyway, so. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Kira. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Is this Kimberly or Ann?
This is Kimberly. Ann lost her voice.
Oh, I see. Good morning, Kimberly. Sorry you had to call a few times, but we were waiting till 10:15 because we had a few things we wanted to cover. But you are on the line now, and that's cool. So where are you calling us from, Kimberly?
I'm calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, it's beautiful
up there. Santa Rosa.
Yeah. Yes, gorgeous wine country.
How did you end up there? Did you live there all your life?
No, actually, I lived in Los Angeles for a better part of 30 years, or probably around 31 years. Mm-hmm. And then just last year, I decided to move up here because my mother was living up here and I wanted to be closer to her. And I'm sure you guys remember the station fire last year, a huge fire that we had in like September.
We don't remember, no.
I'm sorry.
No, you don't remember. Okay,
very insensitive of us, sorry.
I had a front view seat to that. So,
really?
You know, with all the things conspiring with a hideous economy and everything, I thought, you know what, this is a perfect time to just pick up and leave.
Yeah. Well, wine country is definitely beautiful, and I would like to go there sometime. So, good for you. Good for you. So,
Thank you. So you're
calling, you guys put a book together, you and Ann Werner. And
yes.
Am I pronouncing it correctly, Werner? And,
yes.
And so the book is called The Virgin Diaries. Tell us a little bit about what the book is about.
Well, basically, we interviewed 72 men and women. There's six gay stories, so there's three male gay stories and three female gay stories. And basically, we just interviewed people on how they lost their virginity. Mm-hmm. And It's a book about sex that's really not about sex. It's more about, even though there is sex in the book, obviously,
right. Yeah.
It's about the emotional state that, you know, you go through when you're going through losing your virginity. What goes through your mind from the beginning, the middle, to the end?
Right. And that's quite a profound experience for everyone, I believe.
Yes.
And
yeah.
as you describe in the book, of course, you know, and the interesting thing is that you, I was reading the book and you were directing it towards teens more.
Yes, it's interesting because when I first came up with the idea, my mother is the co-author, and when I first came up with the idea, you know, we kind of thought about different things, and we figured, you know, this would be best for virgins so that they can make an informed decision.
Okay.
Now that it's been out in the world for a while, we're finding out that not only are, you know, virgins interested in the book, virgin boys, because we were thinking in terms of virgin girls specifically, but
right.
Virgin boys are really finding this interesting, as well as men and women who are 45 and up.
Right.
They're just, it's really interesting. You know, we weren't expecting certain groups to really like it as much as they did. So, you know, we're surprised.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something interesting in the book that made me laugh, and that is that nobody feels comfortable talking to their parents about sex. You know, I mean, even when, you know, I know even at my age, I think I rarely talk to my parents about
so
sex.
So interesting how that is. It's like it's like an invisible, like you just don't go there.
Yeah.
It's like even if you're in the room and there's like you're watching a movie and a sex scene comes on and your parents
yeah.
are in the room, you like are trying to not barf all over everybody because that's how I feel. I'm like, oh, just. Smack.
That's so funny. My mother and I both enjoy the show Hung, and I told her I can't watch it with you.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I totally understand. There's just some kind of weird. But if you had a girlfriend or a guy friend, you know, somebody I guess on your peer level that you're not related to, I mean, it does. You don't have that feeling, right?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently, people, you know, many people told you their stories, and they probably never told their parents about it.
It's on
exactly.
Their, yeah, it's on their parents' damn business. That's what
yeah.
I say. Like, that's what I would think. My parents don't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
So how did you put these people together and got all these responses? I mean, 72 is quite a bit, and people have told some extensive stories. It's not just answering a question or two.
Right. Well, basically, I started with my friends. My mother's friends, and I started doing this alone, and my mom chimed in sometime later, and I focused primarily on women.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of dropped the ball for a while because I wasn't getting as many stories, and I don't know how many I had, but long story short, I went to the internet, and I started going on various websites and posting that I was looking for people to provide their story, and I was very surprised, especially when I included men.
Mm-hmm.
I was very touched by not only the response that I got, but the candidness and the thoughtfulness of the stories that the men provided, because, you know, we all say, all right, women are the touchy-feelies, and we love to express our emotions, and, you know, and men really they really surprised me because they wrote stories that I was just like, wow, I can't believe. And, you know, some of these people I didn't know. So some of them were my friends.
Right.
Some of them were my family. And then, you know, it just went on the internet, and I actually got the first gay story, and that's in the book, and we have a little footnote at the bottom, and it was a woman, and she said, you know, your questionnaire doesn't really ask me specific questions, so I'm just going to do the best I can. And that prompted us to seek out, you know,
right,
gay stories, because we figure, hey, you know, why not?
Yeah, it
they're,
is out
they're
there.
Just a part of the population like we are.
Exactly. Now, I would imagine that the stories of the men would be quite different from the women's. Did you find any kind of theme with each sex as far as their experiences?
Well, I would say not within a sex. So
right.
I wouldn't say necessarily, you know, all the women's stories were very similar. But what I did find interesting is a lot of my questions, I have a very long questionnaire, and a lot of them say, how did you feel? How did it feel?
Right.
So I noticed that the men would answer that question, how it felt physically, while the women would answer how it felt emotionally.
Right.
And then the other thing that I found very interesting is, you know, the women kind of, collectively, not everybody, because some women really enjoyed having sex and even having sex for the first time, but I would say collectively, it wasn't all that, you know, it was like,
yeah.
It was all right. Whereas pretty much every guy was like, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's funny.
Because they finally got to conquer for the first time,
exactly.
You know. Yeah, that's true, though. I mean, you know, I'm pretty much aware of the fact that for many people, especially women, it was not a great experience because, you know, all because of the mechanics and everything, and I think the emotional part of it. And
I've only heard a couple friends of mine, I mean very, very few, that were like, yeah, it wasn't too bad, or yeah, it was kind of good.
Yeah.
Mine was like, it sucks. That was like mine. Like, who invented sex? We need to get rid of it all together.
Yeah.
That lasted like 10 minutes, though. And I was like, oh, okay, I see how this works. This is good.
But yeah.
No.
But you did mention in the book that, you know, although, you know, some young people consider sex to be gross and that sort of thing, they're still fascinated and curious about it.
Yes, that I have in the very beginning of the book the note to the parents, and that's kind of what I say. When I was 9 years old, I was just really a prude, and I hated the idea of sex. I thought it was disgusting and horrible, but at the same time, I was presented with a book in the fourth grade called Forever by Judy Blume, and it was all about first-time sex, and it was pretty graphic for a kid's book, and man, I read that book so many times. I read it in one day.
Yeah.
And then I read it over and over and over again. And so, you know, as much as it, you know, the idea of it in real life grossed me out, I wanted to know, you know, what is this all about? Because you see it on TV, you hear it in the, you know, music and the radio and billboards and magazines, and it's all over the place. And so, of course, there's a natural curiosity.
Right.
Mm.
And
even if you don't want to do it.
Right. And although you said that, you know, the book is not necessarily about sex, but it does have sex in it, I found it to be pretty much a turn on to read some of the people's experiences, you know. It's it's almost like, you know, I used to read the Nancy Friday fantasy books and stuff, and
yes.
I found those to be quite a turn on. So this was similar in the way that it was real people telling about real experiences.
Right. Yeah, that's funny because I guess each person is going to take away, and that's the point. We have no commentary. There's no, you know, we're not doctors or scientists or anything like that. So, you know, it's just the story standing on their own, and the reader gets to form their own decision. And as far as, it's funny that you say that because we compiled and edited the story. So all the stories are pretty much word for word what people said, with the exception of some, you know, like we fixed punctuation or we
yeah.
made things flow better.
Thank goodness
better.
For that, yeah.
But one thing that we did have to do with a few of the male stories is kind of take away the gratuitous details.
Right.
Because we were thinking in terms of making this for teens and for parents to perhaps suggest to their teen in order to inform them. So yeah, there was some juicy details that we we did take out.
Yeah, you didn't want it to be too pornographic, I guess.
No.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And that, I'm going to plug my website now because there's all kinds of information about the book and all the questions that I asked, the guidelines that all the participants followed. It's on arcstories.com, and that's A-R-K. Like Noah's Ark.
Right.
Arcstories.com. And, you know, when you go on there, you can see two full stories. You can read about why we put the book together. There's a link. It's on Amazon.com, so you can go directly to Ark Stories and, you know, click on the book, and it'll take you right to Amazon. So, you know, there's a lot of information on the website.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I definitely recommend the book from the little I've read from it, and you know, it's a little different, and I think there's definitely a lot of excitement in reading this. At least it was for me. The book is The Virgin Diaries, and it's compiled by Kimberly Johnson and Ann Werner. The website is arcstories.com. And Kimberly, thank you so much. We wish you all the best with the book.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kimberly.
And I hope your mom feels better and her voice comes back.
All right. Well, thank you too, Kara, and you guys have a great day.
Okay.
Got it.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, nice lady. You know.
Okay, Sam, so your first time, go for it.
My first time? My first time wasn't with a meaningful girl at all, you know. It was just one of the sluts in the neighborhood, and I thought, wow, you know, I mean, here's my chance. And
how did it happen, though? Like,
so,
did you guys
I mean,
date?
That was like intercourse, but I've you know, like... I've had like foreplay and stuff with other girls.
But were you,
that.
Did you go on a date with her or something? Or?
No, it was straight up wham bam.
How did you even get that to happen though?
Because she always like made it obvious that she liked me and stuff, you know.
Okay.
And then I knew of her reputation, so I figured, what the hell, you know. So I don't even remember the details of how we finally made it happen, but I remember she ended up in my bedroom in my parents' house. And
how old were you?
I was 15 and a half or so.
Wow, that's young, huh?
Yeah. And the rest is history, but it wasn't that great for me either, you know?
Oh, really?
No, it wasn't that great. I don't know why, because maybe you do have to feel something for the person.
Yeah.
You know? Even when you're a guy.
Yeah. I think it makes it better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. I was in love with the person that I lost it to, but mechanically
really?
Speaking, it was not pretty.
Not pretty, huh?
It was just like I heard my hymen snap.
Really?
Sorry if
that
it's too
bad,
graphic.
Huh?
It was like tore. It was like
really.
It was like tear rip sound.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell was that? And it was so painful. And I was like, we're done. I'm never doing this again. It sucks. It's awful.
Oh wow. So we're gonna bring in our next studio guest in a few minutes, but I wanted to tell you about the drive back from Vegas.
Oh, okay. I just told everybody that how my hymen broke when I was, you know, first time.
And
now we're going to his drive back from
Vegas.
After I just shared one of my most horrific experiences. Like, that's cool. Anyway, the weather was awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on, Sam, with your brilliant drive story back. Next time, that's the last
great
time.
Great segue, huh?
That's the last time I'm going to tell you guys some of my most horrific stories. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, one for the history books, you know, great segue on this show.
Very sensitive
of you. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to tell other than the fact that, you know, the drive should take about 3.5-4 hours most. And it took us 6 hours because there was stop and go traffic in the middle of the desert, if you can imagine that. I'm telling you, Kara, you know, when you have to drive 300 miles.
Stop and go, really?
Stop and go. I mean, it would be like suddenly you'd be up to 85 miles an hour, suddenly zero, you know?
They'd be flying out of your car if that was the case. Okay, Sam.
That was the case. Exactly that. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you. It's like you go on 85, 90. Suddenly, bam, everybody stops and comes to a complete halt. And you just go there and you go, haven't we had enough with the L.A. freeways? So now you have to have it in the middle of the desert as well.
Well, it's that L.A. Vegas stuff. People go for the weekend and they all pack back. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but it's just too much, man. I was hoping there wouldn't be that many people.
I like to do the desert drive at night. I think that's the worst. I think the L.A. to Las Vegas drive is the worst. It's so...
Yeah.
It's not scenic. It's hot.
Right.
Even with AC on because you got sun...
But still, when you drive in the dark, you don't see anything, you know? It's
boring. I'd rather drive at night.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd rather drive at night. Mm. You know, you don't have the sun sizzling your skin.
Yeah, that's true. 120 degrees in the desert, man.
And then it doesn't work your car that much over time. What car did you guys take? Yeah. Did you take your...
My car, my Mustang. It was fun, you know, at least you can pass people easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. We have a guest in the studio, and we'll be back right after this.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk station, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Guest in the studio, we have Rick. Good morning to you, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
And I still don't know if it's Rick Mizuno or Rick Mizuno.
Both sound very correct from where I'm sitting.
Really?
He's like, I'll go with either one.
Because I feel bad. You know, I mean, we made the intro for your show, and sometimes you say it one way, and sometimes you say it another
way,
and I feel bad.
It's Mizuno.
Mizuno.
Yeah, okay.
It depends on your attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, Mizuno.
Mizuno. Because it's Japanese.
Oh, yeah. It is? Okay.
If you say Mizuno, then people think it's Italian.
Oh, I
see. What do we got going on here in the mix? With a little ethnicity, a little mix?
You like that?
Why? I could tell there's something. There's a little... I could tell I can't figure it out, so it means there's a few things going on.
I am a mystery man. No, I am a smooth blend. of black and Japanese.
Wow, that's a great combo.
I think so.
Yeah.
Black and Japanese.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Turned out pretty handsome.
Well,
in the States or overseas or what?
Here in the States.
Okay.
Both mother and father born and raised here.
Uh-huh.
Father's first generation Japanese.
Okay.
And they met during high school and fell in love and got married and had two sons. I'm the oldest. And then, unfortunately, a few years later, they parted ways.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you probably heard stories and stuff. Was it difficult for them to have a relationship being black and Asian?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially back in that day.
Yes,
because I was born in Hermitage, so. But yes. Long before civil rights and everything, yeah, the racial divide was quite, and particularly with Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know a lot about the culture, unfortunately. However, I do know they're. Well, to introduce black in there was just really like the biggest taboo probably that ever could have happened.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you? Have you? I mean, did you have a hard time growing up in that kind of an environment?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It was difficult, you know, and because people would look at me. Now, I look different then because, one, my hair was much straighter. It's naturally curly. Just one day the black decided to come out and just start curling up.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Yeah, my hair was jet black. Uh-huh. And of course, I was lighter because of years of California living.
Yeah,
so
you
got to love that. But so I stood out like a sore thumb in my community, which was, at first it was a nice racial mixture of white and black and a little Hispanic. And then over the years, it became all black and a little Hispanic. And then that grew and changed. But I looked different than everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the schools I went to at the time, let's see, they were predominantly all black. And so I looked like.
Yeah.
But I was cool.
Yeah.
And everyone called me Mizuno. And I grew up in that environment.
Uh-huh.
I had enough black in me to hang and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. But I had a great support system. I had a great family from my mother's side and everything like that. Great friends. And it's just now and then I can tell, just like what you're looking at me, I grew up with that. Mm. And I could tell when someone wanted to ask me, what are you?
Uh-huh.
What do you mix with? In fact, the reason why I coined that phrase, smooth blend, because of the connotation that I grew up with about being mixed.
Mm.
I remember as a child about dogs.
Right.
So the best dog was to have a purebred, which in my community, very few could afford.
Yeah.
So if you had one with papers, that was like the premier. Everything else was mixed mutt, I mean. Uh-huh. So you're substandard. So when people would refer to me as mixed, my young mind would say I'm substandard.
I see what you're saying, because of the connotation.
Yeah, and the way what people look at me. And even then, I remember distinctly, I don't know why, but a friend asked me, okay, you know, there's going to be a race war. Which side are you going to pull for?
Wow.
I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'm just trying to figure out what socks to put on.
What
flavor ice cream I'm going to get. But those are some of the things, not all the time, but I knew that it was there. I could tell people were looking at me strangely.
Mm-hmm.
Walking with my mother, particularly when I was very young, when my parents were still together, and having people look at us. You can tell.
Yeah.
How was it? I mean, at some point, did it start to kind of change for you as far as the culture does change and it's evolved? I'm sure there's always going to be like prejudice, but do you feel that's still an issue? Or because I guess living in Hollywood, I see so much everything, and it's kind of cool to have like an ethnically ambiguous look.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very marketable.
I am the in thing now. So.
There you go.
Yeah, I
there
mean, it's
go.
Very, it is. It's very in. So.
Yes. And particularly here in our area, it's not so strange.
Yeah.
In fact, it produces
some
beautiful
exotic.
Children.
Well, it's supposed to be so exotic. There's like so rare. It's like, oh, wow.
A little bit of this. I mean, we just go back to the creation anyway. Like everyone looked like everybody else, I suppose, and had all the beauties and the fine points.
Yeah.
But it got, well, you know, it's an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I developed an attitude, I'm not going to let it bother me.
Yeah.
I am who I am.
Yeah.
I'm believing who I am. I'm proud of who I am. That's why I say, I decide I'm going to call myself what I want to be called.
Right.
Not what you want to call me or refer to me as. When they start talking something mixed or this or what, I said, no, I'm this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is who
okay,
I am.
Okay, there you go.
Right. Yeah. And so... That's
and
my attitude.
You seem to have come out pretty well, you know. I mean,
don't twitch too much.
No, but you exude self-confidence, and that's good, you know. I mean, I'm sure you overcame some difficult times and stuff. But so tell us a little bit. People that don't know, Rick is a host with us, and you have a show called Indies in Motion, which I think is a great title for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about it. What is it about?
Oh, this is a fantastic show, if I may say so myself.
You might as well, yeah.
You're on
the toot my own horn. Indies in Motion is a variety show that features some of the best independent artists or independent talents of all the art, what I call all the artistic and creative disciplines, whether it's film, music, dance, theater, literature, entertainment, you name it, I try to have them on my show.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool, man, because I guess you can find a lot of gems in people that are not famous yet.
There's a ton of. You're looking at one of them.
Yeah.
You
know? There you go.
I'm a household name in a few homes, and I'm expanding. Yeah. But you know, there's so many talented people out there, and I'm just so overwhelmed with the response for those that want to be on the show. I'm even getting responses from people. I've got one from India last week, from China, Sweden, a few from the UK who are hearing about the show and just so appreciative that someone has a program that's inviting them. Because I put the word, I'm inviting you to come on. And without a paycheck, you know, or looking for this or that or any hidden agenda, this is what we're about. I want to give voice to all those that I can because I'm there myself. And so they just are blown away from it and just jumping on it.
Yeah. Mm. And you're giving a platform to people that, you know, are trying to make it. They're still independent and so forth. So I think that's a great thing, you know, because like we've talked about it before, you know, that people that are, you know, all the good... The good ones are not necessarily famous, you know. They may not been discovered yet.
All right.
And but that's the you know, that's what I admire about them, is that, you know, despite the hard times and everything, they still move forward, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Kara, for example. You know, I mean, Kara is an independent comic singer. And one day she's going to be famous, you know. But,
oh, thank you, Sam, for your vote of confidence.
Yeah, there you go. You
know? No, I mean, I think that, I mean, I think if you're up on the music industry, there's... It's evolved and changed even as we speak right now. So being independent is almost the can be the advantage, I mean, as an artist, as opposed to being signed. I mean, there's a lot of different things that, whereas before it was always like being independent was like just the step until you became signed. And now it's
frowned upon.
Now it's like being independent is kind of the almost can be, you know, premier to being signed because, you know, the freedom and the financial.
Right.
It's leverage.
Yeah, it's just like being referred to as mix rather than be called smooth.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's really interesting now with the internet and everything with the music and how it's just not, you know, it's not all about getting signed anymore.
No, it's really opened up the playing field. And so many people can achieve success. Now we all have to determine what success is for ourselves, but we can be out there, we can be exposed, we can have a fan base, we can have an audience, we can actually nurture and exhibit the gift that we are blessed with without waiting for someone to come along and say, you know, I think you're good enough to give you a try, which that window before in the standard mainstream was very limited. And now it's the playing field is much, much larger now, and I'm so happy to be part of it. I mean, it's like being here on LA Talk Radio.
And, you know, with the internet and everything, people can get a lot more exposure for their music and their films and so forth, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so. It's really interesting. Based on what I've learned, I have some friends that are entertainment lawyers, and that just, you know, prior to the whole iTunes and the MySpace and, you know, doing your own thing, I mean, you know, most when people signed to be artists to a label, they, you know, pretty much made their money off of the label made money off the records and the artists got to do the tours, you know, and the merchandise.
Right.
And now a lot of because record sales aren't the same as they used to be, that a lot of these labels are now trying to dip into the touring and the merchandise, and the artist is in debt, you know, they start off in debt to the label. And so it's kind of like, you know, there are still some really good contracts that people can get that are good, or distribution deals and things like that. But the whole idea of like developing talent and really pouring into an artist, it's so different now, you know, because now I feel like they only develop really young. You know, that's what it seems like to me, and that they'll only really take a new artist like Justin, you know, Bieber, and all these like these Nickelodeon type things, and not that they won't sign older acts, but that they'll really pouring in talent. It seems that they do that at the really young age, and then if you sign maybe older in your career, it's almost like it could, depending on the contract, kind of screw you, as opposed to if you did it your own way.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat, is what I'm saying. You know,
And which way do you use to skin your cats?
But you know, with the growth of the internet and all the opportunities and the possibilities that it affords us. I know, for instance, you know, because I'm a writer as well. I have a couple of books self-published. I know many self-published authors were discovered because they self-published, because it was able to get them out there to be heard. They started creating a buzz on the internet because the mainstream has their ear tuned in and they're looking, watching. And so a lot of people are getting discovered, whether it's music, this, whatever the art is. And so I'm just again, that's why Indies in Motion is out here, not only to afford a venue, a platform for people to exhibit their talents, but also to encourage them.
Right.
And to encourage other people. And not everyone may work at it as a career, but everyone has a gift inside. And so the program is, you know, bring out those gifts, you know, develop it, develop an appreciation for the arts by participating, even if you're just painting at home or whatever, but you're doing it for your own satisfaction and enjoyment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're pretty talented. I mean, you just said you write. Mm-hmm. You're also a musician,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so do you write music as well as perform it?
I used to. Actually, I consider myself more of a lyricist. So I'm really into words and what they mean. And so I guess that was the natural evolution and progression for me
as a
musician, as a writer. Because I always had this writer in me. And it wasn't until the passing of my late wife in 2003 that really catapulted me to just get real serious about writing.
Because
it really became a lifeline for me. It's like, okay, what in the world am I going to do with my rest of my life? Because I had been married. That year would have been our 33rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and we had 4 children. One was still at home in high school. And so I'm like, and it was like all of a sudden.
Wow.
It was totally unexpected as it happened. But from those ashes, I rose up, started to breathe again, live again, and so all the creativity just started coming forth. I was always doing things, and I knew it was going to happen. I just had no idea what I was going to do. And of all things I wrote was a romance novel called 50-50 Split.
Yeah. A smooth blend.
That's fun.
And my second book, which is titled From the Heart of a Man, is a book of love letters and poems and romantic pieces.
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And have you put some music to those, to some of them?
I'm working on that.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to create a project, a CD with music. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I've been experimenting a little bit on my program because I have a segment called Rhythm and Rhymes where I'll have background music and I recite one of my pieces.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You heard it first here on LA Live.
Awesome. So your show is when? When is it broadcast live?
It'll broadcast live every Monday at 1:00 in the afternoon Pacific Standard Time.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed.
And you gotta catch that. Interesting guests, as always, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is cool. I mean, you know, it's nice that you feature a lot of people, and you know, it's an original kind of a show, you know, and that's really cool because this is the platform to do it in. You know, this is where you can do it, you know, because you can do whatever you want. You can format your show however you want. And it's cool. You know,
I would say probably on average about 6 individual people are featured on my show, either actual interviews or when I play the song. And I always give out the contact information. Yeah. I even spell out the web address or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it averages about 6 or more people.
Really?
Name out there on every program.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
We are talking about compressing.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a really fresh show that really is inspiring and that can kind of really get people kind of plugged in and, you know, get the ball going for some people. So that's exciting.
Yes. Yes.
So 4 kids, huh?
Yes.
Wow.
And they're all grown by now, right?
All grown, trying to raise me now.
Yeah.
At least the daughters.
Yeah.
Are they all half Japanese and half black?
No, because their mom was black. Whatever, black American.
So they're they're not a smooth blend. What would they be called?
It's still smooth.
They're smooth. But
they all refer themselves as black.
I see.
With some Japanese.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So they all recognize that, of course, and they appreciate that culture as well.
Smooth blend. Okay, we got to think of a good name for that.
Yeah.
For them.
Yes. An email, let me know.
Yeah.
And then we pass it by them, particularly my daughters. You get to pass it by them.
Smooth blend sounds like coffee to me, but.
I heard
whatever,
that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever it is, you know, it's easy to savor, right? It's easy to digest and consume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you have a website or anything?
Absolutely. Aside from the website here, it's www.rickmizuno.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can email me at look@rickmizuno.com.
Sounds good.
Yes.
That's an original name. There you go.
Yeah. Just a happy man. He's just got a big smile.
Yeah.
You know, life is a journey, and it is what you make of it. And I'm just excited and thrilled to be doing what I'm doing.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You talk to people.
That is success right there.
You know, I've toured. I've done a lot of different things. And, you know, I may not be a blip on the radar, but I look back and thought, you know, not bad. And I'm still young enough and virile enough and strong enough and decently looking enough or whatever I am. Yeah. But I'm loving
smooth
life.
Enough.
Always smooth.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing various things and that I enjoy doing. And so it's really cool. This weekend I went wine tasting. You know,
where'd you go? Yeah, he did his little finger like he's like throwing back some drinks.
I was out in Temecula.
Temecula, how is it out there?
It's lovely out
really?
There. Beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. That's east, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure Sounds what county good. That is. Riverside? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, we are out of time, Rick. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming in. Everybody catch his show today at 1 o'clock on Channel 2. And, of course, you can always download the archives. And the website is rickmizuno.com.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you.
Okay, Kara, thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
The show just flew in. I want to give a shout-out to TJ. Sorry we didn't pick up your call, but we're very squeezed with time. But do call tomorrow. And TJ McCormick is on break until about next week or 2 weeks. So for all his fans, stay tuned, and he will be back live shortly. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.